Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Welcome to another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, brought to you by our friends over at Band of Coders. We've got a great show for you today. Later in the program, we're going to be talking with Erica Stanley, the City Director of the Atlanta Network of Women Who Code. But first up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we have Sarah Buchanan, the founder and CEO of My Job Connector and Your Talent Bridge. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about your background and sort of how you got into this and started this up.
Sure. So when I was six, I had a vision that whatever I was going to do at the height of my career would have a global impact on people in a positive way. And through what I thought was an unintentional path, it actually was very intentional between sales and talent acquisition solutions and diversity management. 4.5 years ago, I made the decision to launch Your Talent Bridge. And we developed what's a patent-pending approach for how to identify top-tier talent on college campuses for an employer and through a service-related model to get that talent interested in wanting to work for that company. And about 2 years ago, I said, you know what, there's a space in the market between Facebook and LinkedIn for a recruitment social network. And my Job Connector has now become the automation of that technology, you know, through technology of that process.
Wow, that sounds absolutely amazing. And it solves two different pain points, too. For someone that's in college and they're not quite sure what they want to do, having that, knowing that they could have a job right when they get out and already be working towards that. And for the job hire, too, you get to really mold someone that hasn't been out in the working world, hasn't developed the bad habits, and sort of build them the way you want for your company. So that's huge.
Thank you. It is.
So walk me through how this sort of works and how the whole process works.
Sure. So the app is actually going to be launching in August, which we're really excited about. We've gotten an overwhelming response from students across the Southeast. We've gathered about 2,000 students are going to test the initial app. And then we're going to market. But how it works is this. We will be marketing on college campuses for the app and basically saying to students, we've got a really easy way for you to identify who are the best employers and positions for you to work at. And so by downloading the app, by filling in an application and essentially providing some profile information, taking an assessment, then we will deliver directly to them the best talent matches for their company, for their corporate culture. And the students then get that delivered directly to them through their app.
I love this. It sounds like you're just disrupting the system. And I can just imagine a freshman coming in. I remember when I was a freshman, my parents were like, oh, you can get a major in whatever you want. You'll be great. Now we have all these people graduating. They can't find jobs. Well, if someone came to me as a freshman and said, hey, are you interested in web analytics? And I'd be like, well, I don't really know. They're like, well, try this out, take this test, see if you work towards it. And then my freshman year, like, all right, well, take these classes and do this. And by the time you get out, you're going to have a job. That would be great. That's a good return on my investment right there.
Absolutely. And for students, it's free.
It's free for students.
It's free for students.
So this really sounds like an absolute no-brainer. So where are you in the process of really getting these schools to sign on? I feel like that would be a big thing for you.
So really, we're actually getting employers to sign on. The schools are very interested in having us be a part of their career process for students. It's really adding the value of helping a student to identify, you know, what their natural strengths and abilities are, and then mapping them to the right companies, jobs, and corporate cultures for them, where they can be their most successful.
So give me the value proposition for these companies to sign up with you guys.
Sure. So the value proposition for an employer is this. Either we can help them to create their talent pipelines and then deliver directly to their recruiters the most qualified talent matches for their jobs, their company, and their corporate culture directly to their recruiters. And so the recruiters don't necessarily have to go on campus anymore. We can say we can take that whole first leg of identifying that top-tier talent pipeline and deliver that directly to you. So that's the value proposition for employers. We're providing them also with the most qualified students and showing through a predictive measure the students that have the best opportunity to be successful for their jobs and in their corporate culture.
So have you thought about taking this to the next level? And you might already have this in place, but I can just see a co-op kind of environment building. So a student gets a job working in a practical field, and the company also gets to try out a student for very cheap and sort of show them the ropes. And And it just seems like a good matchmaking process.
It is. It is very similar to eHarmony for recruiting.
Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. So what's the next step for you? What do you need more of? What are you doing right now?
Sure. So we are going to market, and so we need more companies to sign on. We are looking for Fortune companies, for large businesses that, you know, have large-scale campus hiring efforts and want to find the best talent. And so that's really, at this point, what we need.
So what made you sort of jump off the ledge and take this entrepreneurial path to technology and go for this? I mean, it's a huge risk. It's exciting, but what made you go ahead and do that?
Sure. So with your Talent Bridge, we developed initially a service-related model. And what I saw in delivering that service-related model was that we could grow and scale the operation much faster, and also provide a better quality solution for employers by really moving into the technology space. And so at that point, I created an algorithm that includes 16 critical hiring dimensions to do a two-way match between both employers and talent. And then also saw that we could automate the process that we developed through your Talent Bridge of how you get a student interested in wanting to work for your company, which helps to create a much more emotionally engaged and engaged hire for a company. So it was really then, I would say about 3 years into the business, I said, you know what, it's time to really scale this operation and to create this recruitment social network.
So are you building this whole thing in-house, or do you have developers overseas? How is that working? How's the development been of it?
Sure. So Band of Coders has been an amazing partner to work with, and that's who we chose to build the network out, and that's who has now created, they've built the app, and we are now going into the phase two of finishing the web build. So
it actually works.
It actually does work, and it's worked the first time. So I have to say that, one, I'm certainly appreciative of Band of Coders for being a sponsor of this program, but more importantly, they are just an amazing technology partner.
Definitely. Well, and I mean, you bring up a good point. Works the first time. I don't know how many times I've talked to different companies that are like, well, we went with this app developer, and they promised us the moon and the stars, and none of it worked, but that's a huge thing right there.
It is a huge thing, and it's been wonderful for the investors that have invested in the company, and also in concluding the second capital raise that we are in now. But I have to say that Band of Coders has absolutely been amazing.
So talk a little bit about the hardships and the struggles coming through for anyone out there that wants to be you. Any woman that wants to be out there, say, hey, I want to start my own company. Talk about just the struggles and how you got over them and just the different pain points.
Sure. So I would say the biggest challenge has really been raising capital, because in the technology market, it is a very male-dominated space for capital raising and venture capital and angel capital. And so I do have to really acknowledge two different groups that have just been phenomenal in this process. And the first is really Bernie Dixon, and who is the CEO and chair of the Atlanta Technology Angels. Bernie created an accelerator program for women, specifically to help women entrepreneurs like myself to secure funding that have high potential growth business models. And so Bernie and this program has just really been instrumental.
It's opened a lot of doors for you.
It really has. And so believe it or not, the first 10 investors in the company ultimately have been women. And so Bernie helped to open those doors. There is also another female-led investment fund called the Jump Fund out of Chattanooga, and they are looking also to invest in high-potential growth female-led companies. And they've been another source of capital. But it's really been those two sources that helped me to get to the next level and really moving my Job Connector forward. Believe it or not, women entrepreneurs only get at this point less than 10% of the available angel and VC funding.
So you women definitely need to stick together in the technology field and
Look
out for each other.
Yes.
So you talked about that. So having a mentor to help you through this process is almost, it seems like you need one to help you through it.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, a lot of accelerators, even if you've been in business and think that you don't need to go through them, really the networks that they open you up to and the opportunities are just absolutely incredible. So I would highly, highly recommend anyone that is, whether, you know, female or male, whether you're, when you're looking to start a business, absolutely to get connected with an accelerator program. There's some great ones here in Atlanta and certainly across the country. But for a female entrepreneur in particular, I would say for sure, you've really got to get connected into a great female, you know, accelerator program. And that will really be a differentiator in helping to move you forward.
What would a young woman really want to look for in a mentor? Because one, just starting a business as a woman, that's an uphill battle right there. And then put it in the technology space, it's even a harder nut to crack. I mean, like you said, it's an intimidating space. It's male dominated. What do they look for, these kind of things?
What should
a woman look for in a mentor?
You should really look for someone that can be what I call a strategic force multiplier. So I have very strategically sought out to surround myself with the brightest, smartest, most accomplished people that can help me to move this company forward. You know, Bernie happens to also be on my board, mm-hmm. as well as one of the partners from the Jump Fund. But that's what I would say 100%. You know, a good leader understands that you've got to surround yourself with extraordinarily bright people that can help you move each strategic needle forward so that you can accomplish your mission.
Well, you can't be an expert at everything, and having people smarter than you has to make your job so much easier.
It does. It does. Absolutely. And then you've got to listen to them. So being coachable is another piece of this. You may not necessarily agree with everything that they share with you, but you really do want that advice before you make any significant decisions.
So what's your ideal goal for this coming out? If everything goes perfect, where would you like to see it in the future? What would it look like?
Sure. So I would love to see my job connectors stand in the market between Facebook and LinkedIn. That would be my goal. I am, you know, the line in the sand that I've drawn is to make this a multi-billion-dollar exit or acquisition.
I think LinkedIn might jump on this, especially if you're getting all the young guns in there early.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's the goal in 5 to 10 years to make this a multi-billion-dollar exit.
Definitely. Well, I could see you doing that, and I just think it'd be such a great part of it if they gave me something like this at the admissions process going into college. It would have made my life so much easier having access to see what kind of jobs are out there, because there's so many job titles and job positions that you don't know about in college, and there's only so many majors you can choose from.
Absolutely. And most students have no idea what they want to do. I mean,
I'm still not quite sure.
Right, exactly. I get that 100%. I was one of those students. I thought, you know, my path for the first 20 years of my life was in music. And so I thought that I was going to become
a famous musician.
Yeah, I thought I was going to be a professional singer, and that didn't quite work. And so, you know, when I was at Spelman, it left me with, okay, well, what am I going to do now? And just so happened that I was recruited in a retail sales environment from an hourly sales job to a commission plus salary job.
Yeah.
And I saw my income go from $8 an hour to $22 an hour.
That is a huge jump.
Absolutely. And so at that point, I really realized, well, there's something to the sales thing. So let me try to find a sales job in a sales position in corporate America. So it was an interesting experience, but that's what really put me on this path. And so I really hope to be able to help so many other, you know, millions of college students be able to identify what are their natural skills and abilities that can help them then to identify what those are and then connect them with the right jobs and companies for them.
Well, yeah, and have people that help them identify it as well. That's huge. I'm really looking forward to seeing this. What stage are you in? Are you guys in a beta testing stage, alpha testing? Are you about to roll this out officially?
So we are going to just we're doing a beta test of the app with about 2,000 students.
Mm-hmm,
we do know that it works. So thanks to Band of Coders and their amazing team. But once we do that, then we're going to market.
All right. Well, I'm excited about this. Well, how do people reach out if they want to throw money at you, if they want to sign up as students or just keep tabs on you guys in the future?
Sure. So there will be a landing page up online within the next week. So they can reach us that way, and that will be www.myjobconnector.com. There will be a place for employers to click submit if they're interested in hearing more. There will also be a place for students to also, you know, give us their information. We'll let them know as soon as the app is in the app store and get them to be part of the beta test.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on and really informing our listeners today.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see what you're going to do.
Thanks so much.
How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Technology Leaders, we have Erica Stanley, the City Director for Women Who Code Atlanta. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm sure you were nodding your head. I'm sure you see a lot of the stuff that we talked about with women in technology.
Absolutely.
So tell me a little bit about your background and how you got into this.
Well, my background is I'm a software engineer by trade, and I got into software engineering because I wanted to find a way to, first of all, build video games. but also I wanted to combine my interest in art and my interest in technology, and that's why I was nodding my head when you said music, because my dad gave me the Be Practical speech.
How did that go? You were like, no, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I had seen, you know, my friends. I went to a fine arts high school, so I had seen some of the struggles, and I'm like, okay, I see where you're going, but I'm going to show you. I'm going to do both. And so that's really what being in technology has allowed me to do. It's allowed me to do all kinds of things because it touches everything that we do every day.
Definitely. Well, I'm sure you look back at your dad and you're like, I'm so glad I was in technology, because now everyone's looking back and they're like, man, instead of getting that painting degree, I wish I had learned how to code and done this or that.
Absolutely. And I can still paint when when I, you know, have the time.
So tell me about Women Who Code. I mean, the name speaks for itself. How did you guys get started? And did it start in Atlanta, or is it sort of a branch from somewhere else?
Actually, it started in San Francisco in 2011. And it's a global nonprofit organization at this point that inspires women to get involved in technology and to excel in careers in technology. And so we provide an avenue into tech for women. We provide information and resources to help build their careers. And most importantly, I think we provide environments for networking and mentorship, and really encourage that.
Wow. So how do people get involved with you guys, and how do you reach out to people? Can you start at any age? Because I think if you get them younger, it's easier, or how does it work?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have a few different community events where we're reaching out to younger girls trying to get in early. But also we have a lot of different workshops. So you can get involved at any age, you know, to really help promote your career in technology.
Okay. Are you guys just building sort of awareness and a little bit of education, or do you guys have like in-depth classes where girls can go there and just start to learn how to code and start working with different stuff? Or
both, actually. So we have workshops where we're actually actively teaching coding. We had a beginner's developer workshop that we collaborated with ThoughtWorks in doing. Adrienne Hisbrook at ThoughtWorks came up with a curriculum that we applied to Rails. She taught the Rails side of things, and I taught JavaScript. And Tara Walker from Microsoft actually taught the C-sharp side of it to a group of beginning developers for a weekend to kind of jumpstart them. And it was a free workshop. So that was active teaching. But we also have events for kids and girls. We work with a lot of different organizations. I was working with the organization last weekend teaching high school kids how to use Scratch and all the things that they could build with it. So we're involved at every level.
And do the kids really love this? I think you teaching them how to make apps or help them code anything, they must be really satisfied with that as well.
Yeah, they are really, really engaged the whole time. And they're just, I think that they see that they can create something, that they can think something up and then actually create it and see it come to fruition is the most exciting thing, that they're empowered in that way.
So you mentioned organizations that you work with. Do you guys do anything with like WIT or Startup Chicks or...
We've worked with Startup Weekend and a few of the hackathons in the area. We also work really closely with Rails Girls Atlanta and PyLadies. We work with a lot of nonprofits. We worked with Global Village Project to work with a career day for their students. And they're a really interesting group. They have a group that seeks to aid the transition in refugee girls from various countries. Mm-hmm. because what they found is that women in these situations are far worse off than anybody else, and especially the girls, because they don't speak English in a lot of cases. They don't have access to education, so they have little to no education. And so just kind of streamlining that transition into society is what they do. And they wanted us to come and get the girls excited about technology, and we were happy to do it.
So do you see like a good resounding thing? You go there and you speak to these girls and these women. Do they have a very positive response saying, hey, yeah, I've always wanted to do this, but I was too intimidated. It didn't seem like I would fit in? Or
that's a lot of what we see. But something we see even more than that is just a lack of exposure. Just, I didn't even know this was available to me. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for just kind of opening my eyes and showing me the different avenues I can take in technology.
Okay. Do you guys have any businesses? Because I have to think the IBMs, the Coca-Colas of the world, I feel like they would want to help you out and help you develop programs to help these women and make sort of a feeder program for themselves. Do you partner with any companies?
Yes, we partner very closely again with ThoughtWorks. We've worked with a lot of different companies, Yahoo, Heroku, especially in San Francisco. We also worked very closely recently with AT&T. They had a Women in Technology hackathon, and we were heavily involved in that. And one of our teams actually won for one of the categories. And it was so amazing because these were women who had never coded before, mm-hmm. had never been to a hackathon, and they were winning, you know, in their category. And then something, you know, equally beautiful happened, that the overall winner of that chose Women Who Code Atlanta to be selected to win a $10,000 grant from AT&T. And so they've been really involved in trying to further our efforts.
That's huge right there. Well, can you sort of talk to any listeners and any of the women or girls that are listening to this, sort of just what a hackathon is and all the different stuff? Because, I mean, there's different stuff. There's robotics. There's so many different stuff that you can code. I know people think of coding and hacking, and they think of, oh, I'm breaking into something or I'm doing this. Just explain all the different stuff that they can learn how to do.
Right. So a hackathon really is just a way to use technology to take an idea from, you know, the concept stage to something that actually works. So it could be anything. It could be your app idea that you've always wanted, or something that you don't understand. Why is this not out there? You can create that. It can be robotics. It can be hardware. It can be software. It can be anything you can think of.
Wow. All right. So do you do a lot with – I know you said you were at the WIT, the Women in Technology thing. We have them in here. Our Band of Coders has them in here once a month just to do different stuff. And I know they deal with younger women as well, and they do robotics programs. Do you help with that? Do you guys, like, correspond and say, hey, let's do a program together? Or
right. We do a lot of actual collaborating and corresponding with different women in technology groups, different technology companies. So we have a few things that we're working on. We're working on a Girls in Tech hackathon, hopefully in the fall. And so we'll probably need a lot of involvement for that one. But we do that for just about every program that we're working on.
Well, entrepreneurship and coding go together so much nowadays. Do
Absolutely.
You guys also do anything with entrepreneurship, as teaching these kids about ideation, creating the concept, and attacking it that way?
Yeah, we do. So, again, getting people involved in Startup Weekend was something that we were really excited about, because we wanted you to see the process from all different angles, not just developers, because we're frequently not just developers. We frequently have to understand the business side of things to be able to actually build something useful.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So that was really useful. But we're actually, our next meetup, which is August 12th, is a lean startup workshop. And so that's teaching you the whole process from, you know, again, concept to how do you work with different members of the team? How are we doing brainstorming? How are we doing whiteboarding to actually come up with a prototype at the end?
Okay. Have you ever heard of the Thai Atlanta, the organization?
I have, yes.
Okay, they have a program that I think would be great for you to collaborate on. It's called TYE Thai Young Entrepreneurs.
Awesome.
And I just had the winners of – they won ThaiCon Southeast, and they came up with a concept, and they had to pitch to people. They won that, and they just won globally. And a VC actually offered
awesome.
Them $1 million to do their
that
do their concept.
Amazing.
So and these are high schoolers. These are like freshmen and sophomore in high school. But I just think it'd be so cool for your program to, if you guys work together. I mean, you guys could build these really strong women that they start such a young age, and they'll have all this experience under their belt. So it'll be easier for them to climb that mountain and become really successful. So,
absolutely.
So
that's
if you're interested in that, I'd love to sort of coordinate that or do a special, anything we can help to do that. I mean,
is amazing. We'd love to be involved.
Definitely. So what's next for you guys? What's your world domination plan?
Well, we're working to increase the number of cities and countries that Women Who Code operates in. Right now, we're operating in 14 countries around the world, mm-hmm. and so we want to increase that. We're trying to have 50,000 members by 2020, so that's something that we're really excited about.
Wow. So how can people get involved with this? How can people mentor? Because I know there's I talked to high-level CIOs and stuff that would love just to probably even give their time just to talk to some of these girls and help people through this. How do people get involved?
Absolutely. And we have, you know, so many people that are really wanting good mentors out there. So there are a lot of different ways you can get involved with Women Who Code, whether you want to sponsor or partner, or, you know, whether you want to lead a tech talk or a workshop, or if you just want to kind of spread the word. The best thing to do is probably to find us on wwc.meetup.com. Mm-hmm. And there you can see all of the locations, and you can even put your zip code in to see if you have a location near you. And we also are active on Twitter. So the local Twitter is, the handle is WWCATO.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on. I think what you're really doing is great. It must feel really good to wake up in the morning. I can tell you're really passionate. You love
yourself. I am. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for our guest today, our sponsors, Band of Coders, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.